Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report, a special Easter weekend edition. We are going to be focusing a lot more on the precious metals as boy, oh boy, gold, silver, those have been moving and the stocks have been following. Corey and Chad here, your hosts on this weekend show, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. We're kicking off this show with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, we chat every month to recap more longer-term moves in the monthly charts, focused a lot on the precious metals, but then we do also dive into some of the other markets. Let's talk about gold, because boy, oh boy, was March a good month for gold, and even as we're recording this, a bit later in the day on Tuesday, so it is earlier in the week, gold is over $2,000, silver is up above $25, and the stocks have been doing better. Doc, I've received a number of emails asking for your insights in terms of gold approaching this all-time high level. Let's just round it off to 2,100. Does gold get to that all-time high? And more importantly, does it hold?
This, in my opinion, is a much better move than some of the spikes we've seen in the past that got people excited. This is better in the sense that it's been a gradual move up over time, and that's what makes this much more solid. In fact, if we hold for the month of April up at these levels, we're going to close at a nice new high. And the positive, and I think I mentioned it last month, that what we needed to see was the 12-month on the MACD moving over the 26-month moving average, which we now are doing, which happened just barely in March, but April, the start of April, shows it in a good position, and that's very encouraging. So we're really finally starting to see both the gold and silver market looking much better from a long-term perspective. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to go to the sky right away, and I don't think they will, or that the stocks will, because some of these stocks, and we talked this off mic, are kind of disappointing, like Newmont and Barrick, and were a couple of them mentioned, and the big majors just haven't made a move like I'd like to see, but the mid-tiers, a lot of them have, and some of the juniors have, which is encouraging. So I'd really like to see the mid or the majors start to move here to really solidify this. The other positive is where we finally got some good volume in March, which is a real positive. So there are some good things about this. We're going to have to be patient, because I think the moves up in these stocks now have begun, but it's going to be a slow move up and down as we gain steam over the next few weeks until there's a catalyst to really start to have them take out their 200-week moving averages.
Well, Doc, this is the most constructive I've heard you in some time on the markets, and I think people will be happy to hear that. You know, if we just take a step back and look, you know, silver and the mining stocks really bottomed last September. They've been going up for 6 months with the bad February in the mix, but like you say, nothing goes up in a straight line. Gold really bottomed, triple bottomed over a couple months, but put in its low in November and has been tracking higher for about 4 or 5 months now. So when you look at the precious metal sector overall, it's been in an uptrend for, let's say, 4 to 6 months at least. And it seems like the tenor or the tone has changed here from people not being sure if it was going to hold or not to now it seems like most people believe the bottom is in and things are moving higher. Do you think, though, if we keep tracking higher here, that things are getting a little oversold? Because on a lot of the individual charts and even in the metals, things are getting a little on the overbought side of things.
And I think they have, Shad, because if we close up here for this week, we've had 7 weeks of higher closing highs, and that's a danger sign. And everybody's predicating this move on the Fed, frankly. And you better be careful with the Fed, because the stock market has not gotten tremendously injured yet. It looks like we're finally seeing some signs of the impending recession showing itself in the ISM data and also in the job openings data. And I think Friday's employment data might be nasty. So everybody's now thinking, oh, we're going to reverse this. The Fed's going to reverse it. And I would caution people that the Fed might not respond the way they think, because some people have the Fed reversing last July. So you better be a little careful. The Fed can cause more damage, but the odds are still with a 25% basis move up in May or to a pause. I don't think we see a reversal at all in May.
Doc, back to the charts real quickly here. You mentioned the MACD, the 12-month moving over the 26-month, and I think even more importantly, those moving averages bounced, or at least the 12-month did, right at that neutral territory. It actually stayed positive back in October, November. The last time we saw the 12-month move over the 26-month was May 2019, and that started a big run for gold. The other time we saw that was back in early 2016 when gold went on a bit of a run. The difference in 2016 it was that the MACD was still in negative territory. You can also look at the Bollinger Bands, where gold, silver, they're hugging the upper Bollinger Bands. Okay, I get that the run is maybe getting a little long in the tooth and needs a short-term correction, but out of these chart factors or anything else that you're watching, what's most important to watch to make sure that this uptrend is going to continue?
That 12-month stay above the 26, that's the most important thing. If we start to see it dip back down to the 26 or even below it, that should send some warning signs to people. I think that's the most important. It's interesting on your strength indicator. Let's take ADX. The bullish green is actually heading down, and that to me is a little disconcerting, but not necessarily. It could turn up, but if that continues down, this is going to tell you that, and the red bearish turns up, we're going to have a correction yet in this market. But that'll tell us in the next 2 months whether that's going to happen.
So, Doc, focus maybe a little bit in silver then before we dive even more into the underlying stocks. Silver is up above $25. It finally broke out from kind of a ceiling that it had there for quite a while at that about $25 range. Silver's even at a 52-week high. What's the possibility of silver continuing to move higher and even outperforming gold for a prolonged period of time?
I would be more constructive toward gold, Corey, because if we get a significant recession and you look at the supply of silver being an industrial usage, I'm much more bullish on gold at this point in time. Silver with time will lag along, I think, but I'm much more constructive with gold than I am silver. And in fact, the silver chart, when you look at it, I don't think we're really out of the woods yet on silver as far as the movement compared to gold. But it, of course, is looking much better, and it tends to want to hug the 50-month moving averages, which is a good sign, by the way. So I think silver will still move sideways. I'd be shocked to see it take out $25 on a monthly basis. We're getting close. But I'll be surprised if it does that.
All right, Doc. So far, so good for the metals, and it sounds like. You know what? We're going to be right back with you, Doc. We'll dive a little bit more into some of these metal stocks. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Doc.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, you outlined a bit of a more bullish, well, probably the most bullish I've heard you for precious metals, at least gold, in the last segment. Let's talk about the precious metal stocks. I know we can say that, look, the stocks, some stocks have done pretty well percentage-wise in the last few months. But overall, these stocks still are at pretty depressed levels when you look at multi-year charts. What do you think about the potential here, Doc, of stocks playing catch-up or stocks continuing to lag?
I think, like I said, mining stocks have, most of them have seen their bottoms, especially the juniors, which I've been purchasing the last two and a half weeks. And I think the mining stocks will stair-step their way higher over time now, and it'll be a gradual thing. So any pullbacks, probably time to buy for the long-term investor, because we're starting to see the end of the tunnel more than we ever did. It's still out of ways, because I still think these things, as mentioned, we're not going to see a V-shaped move, in my opinion. It'll be a stair-step move over time until we see that catalyst that really gets the mojo going for these things again.
Haven't we already kind of seen a V-shaped move, though, Doc? If you look at something like GDX and the move down that it made from the highs of last year in April, straight down almost to September, and then almost straight back up, at least for a few months. We're not back up to those highs from April of last year, but overall, it does have a kind of V-shaped recovery.
Sure, you do from the standpoint of being at such low levels. But when I talk V-shape, I'm talking about a move like we saw way back in 2011 or before that, where you just get a continual movement higher. And I think we're going to see pullbacks yet. And we're light years away from 41 yet on the GDX. We're just above where we were back in January. So I don't consider that much of a V. I consider a V like we saw back in 2020 when we just got burned and these stocks dropped a ton and then suddenly reversed and just shot right back up. This is just a small V. There's nothing to write home about, I don't think.
Well, Doc, another discussion that always comes up is why aren't the mining stocks outperforming the metals? But I find it to be a confusing question or puzzling when people keep saying that, because in general, the mining stocks have outperformed the metals lately. But yet that idea still remains that the whole sector hasn't gone up. Is this still a stock picker's market, or will eventually it be a rising tide lifting all boats?
The rising tide that lifts all boats, I think, is weeks away. So it's pretty much a stock picker's market right now, I believe. So you're going to have to try to pick the right companies. And what was really encouraging, and you made a good point, Chad, and something I've been looking at is when we had down days on gold, let's say a real sell-off, even recently, the mining stocks, it didn't impact them. And that tells you volumes. That tells you that these things are pretty oversold now, and especially with energy prices coming down, although OPEC may mess that up again. But even with energy prices coming down, that's a positive for these stocks. So the big positive, though, was when you would see gold taken to, you know, to the barn, but yet the stocks weren't affected much. And that told me, you know, this is it's telling us that we're in a good place here for the first time in a long time.
So, Doc, one thing, when you take a bigger picture look at everything, and kind of to Shad's point there about people complaining that the stocks haven't outperformed gold, they have done well on a percentage basis. But, again, gold is just a fraction away from all-time highs, record-level highs. But a lot of these stocks, man, they're still well off of highs from 2020, even highs from 2011. To me, especially with how well gold has done here, really seems like there's a lot more upside in these stocks. Is it fair to compare gold at all-time highs and then look at these stocks and see just how far off of all-time highs they are?
Yeah, it is rather disconcerting, but I think people turn so negative on these metals and on the stocks. And then you got to remember when oil, price of a barrel of oil was so high, it was just killing these miners as far as their costs. Now that that's abated somewhat, I think that's a positive for them. And I think a lot of people didn't care about their cash flows. When you look at their PEs still look problematic for a lot of them. So I think people switched over to the way you look at conventional market stocks, their PEs. And they could care less whether these companies were generating cash flow. But actually, it showed how strong some of these companies were. So it was a positive, but I think people just looked at the wrong measurements.
Well, Doc, I know a lot of people like to get your thoughts on which kind of stocks you're getting positioned in. You had mentioned you had trimmed back some of the positions you had in some of the larger producers and were getting more interested in the juniors. Is that the approach that you're taking right now, rotating out of some of the bigger names and into some of the smaller names?
Yeah, what I did, because I felt that, and I don't like to do this because I'm a day trader, although I wasn't day trading really, but I was probably week trading, meaning that when I bought low on some of these companies, they moved up to the top of a particular technical range, I would sell, and then I'd take that money and I would keep buying some of the juniors, and I kept adding and adding and adding. So I got a good position in a lot of those. But and the only thing that could hurt me is if they go bankrupt, any of them, but most of them probably won't. So that's what I've been doing. For instance, you take a company like Coeur d'Alene, which a while back, you know, I had purchased in the upper $2 range when it got down to the Bollinger Bands on the monthly chart, which I told people that I often do as I buy then. And then it moved up quite a bit, and I sold. Well, then it came back to that same area again, and I recently bought a boatload of that. I like Coeur d'Alene's chart. I love it. So now I have it again as it moves up. But this time, when it comes down to find when it dips, sometimes I probably won't sell based on what I'm seeing, because I believe we're getting into that stair step thing. And I would probably add to it again. But that's what I've been doing. I didn't purchase companies like Newmont or Barrick or those, but that's how I've been playing a lot of this mid-tiers. I purchase, and I've said that before, I don't usually buy the majors. I like the mid-tiers and the juniors because you get bigger bang for the buck eventually.
All right, Doc, we're out of time here, but yeah, this is the most encouraging I've heard you maybe ever for this sector. We'll follow up with you next month, but overall, well, so far, 2023, it's been good for a lot of investors, but very good for the precious metals investors. Doc, thank you for your time. Hope you have a very happy Easter. We'll chat again next month. Have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
USA News Update. A victory this week by transgender golfer Brianna Gill at the Australian Women's Classic has added more fuel to the debate, Gill getting death threats after her win and deleting her social media accounts. Have a plan in your head. That's the advice from police for when you might be in the middle of an active shooter situation.
Hide, fight, run. Choose what works in the moment. That's the advice from Officer Christopher Osek of the Colorado Springs Police Department. He says what you don't want to do is freeze.
The shooter, they're going from area to area, and they're just looking for people that are caught out in the open for the most part. They're trying to get that high kill count. So what happens is people who are frozen in fear, they could end up being a casualty.
Ossoff says in the shootings at Club Q, some hid, some ran, and two people fought, overpowering the shooter and saving lives. I'm Richard Johnson.
Corey Myers, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed those first two segments with Doc and, well, his more positive outlook for gold and even for the underlying precious metals stocks. We are now chatting with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Brian, let's continue this focus on the precious metals, but a bit more on the underlying stocks, because I'm sure a lot of people listening to this have a portfolio of precious metal stocks, and they're probably very happy with the way some of these stocks have moved over the last maybe 4 or 5 months. Hopefully they haven't been holding them for 2 or 3 years, but there's probably still a handful of these stocks that just haven't really moved. Maybe you could say they're building a bigger base, but the fact of the matter is they're trending still kind of around their general lows of this last 52 weeks. Brian, what have you noticed in terms of the stocks that have started moving early on here, if we want to say that this is an early on move for precious metal stocks?
Yeah, thank you, Corey. These stocks have moved over, everything's moved over the past, you know, week or so, and really even during this rally going back to the beginning of November. But they're still incredibly cheap. I saw some statistic the other day that was saying that mining stocks, the producers, are as cheap relative to gold as they were back in 2015, which was a record as far as cheapness, you know, relative to the gold price. And we're still at those levels. So even though a number of the juniors have moved 20, 30, 50% or more, if you look at the long term in where this kind of market would be going, they're still remarkably cheap. As to what's been moving, it's kind of what you would expect. It's been companies that have large established resources or appear to be building those resources of good management teams. You know, the cream rises to the top first initially. of those, you know, I like Vizsla Silver. I think that's, it's doing well. It's building on its established resource. It's obviously going to get bigger. Other companies, you know, out there that are moving are things like Gold Basin Resources is a company I like that unfortunately is moving well because it looks like, although it doesn't have a resource right now, it looks like it's on the way to building a substantial resource. And it kind of aggravates me because I haven't bought it yet personally. And it's been moving well past our recommended level, our entry point in Gold Newsletter. So, yeah, generally speaking, the companies that have something that they can show the market in terms of resources, real value for gold and silver in the ground, are benefiting more directly and initially from this surge in the metals prices.
Yeah, Brian, that's kind of what we'd expect, too, just because if somebody has proof in the pudding and they've got a resource estimate or they've got an economic study, they're going to get immediate leverage to rising prices, where maybe an earlier stage company that doesn't have anything proven in the ground yet is a little bit more speculative and not as tied to the metals price. But I guess one question I have is when you think about that first statement you made that we're seeing valuations and producers almost where they were in 2015, it's a little shocking because if people remember, 2015 is when gold made its low around 2050, around 1050 at the end of that year. And now we're at over $2,000 gold price. You would expect producers to be doing, I guess, a lot better than they have, especially the valuations. Is it really a story that the inflation has stolen the candy from the table and that because the higher input costs they have, that's why they're not getting valued like they were in the past?
No, I don't think so, because the companies have really cleaned up their operations. Their margins are hefty, typically around 50% or thereabouts. So they're minting money almost literally hand over fist. They've got lots of money. They should be rewarded for that. I think more specifically, you know, it used to be in the old days that if you wanted to leverage the moves in the metals, you simply bought the mining stocks and it happened for you. There are a lot more options these days, a lot more competitors to anyone wanting to leverage these moves. For one, you can trade on margin. Another, they have the 2 or 3X leveraged ETFs out there. So you can play the mining stock industry through a lot of other means and leverage your positions to the metals through other means. And so I think for sophisticated traders and hedge funds and the like, they tend to prefer or at least have some positions in these other options to the mining stocks themselves. I think and I hope as this market develops, you'll see more generalist money come into the mining stocks because, you know, as I've said many times, it is not an efficient market and you can significantly improve your returns over not just the metals themselves, but other investors in the mining space if you're just willing to put in a little bit more work and research and time and effort. So I think it will start to make up that gap, but right now I don't think it's a matter of higher production or higher cost inputs because most of the inputs that are relevant right now are in the construction area. Energy costs, while higher today than they were a week ago, still aren't at that point where they really crimp margins for the mining stocks, for the mining producers.
So, Brian, as you are seeing some of these stocks move higher, and again, it hasn't been necessarily a broad-based recovery, but we are seeing more and more stocks take part. Are you chasing them? Are you focused on the stocks that are moving, that are getting some more market love?
To some degree, I think, again, they're still cheap. And while, you know, when gold goes up $35, that may not be the time to buy, but, you know, wait a few days at least kind of a thing. I try to point out to people that these levels are still small fractions of where the stocks will be, but where they'll be trading in a really euphoric bull market atmosphere, the kind of atmosphere that I think is coming up. Personally, I'm not chasing much or anything right now because I've been buying pretty heavily over the past few months, really over the past 6 months, and are pretty much fully invested at this point. What I need to do personally, you know, do some turning over of the soil and the garden and sell some things to redeploy. But short of that, yeah, I still think it's a good, generally speaking, it's a good buying opportunity around these levels.
Well, Brian, you mentioned that some of the stocks that seem to be moving the most, and I would echo the statement, are the ones that have resources in the ground that are getting that initial move on the higher metals prices. But when we think about how these stocks were valued for ounces in the ground in prior periods, it's almost comical where the ounces in the ground are being valued today. Do you see that as being an optionality factor in some of these companies that maybe have big resources? They've spent years drilling them out and doing drill program after drill program after drill program. Maybe they got 1 million, 2 million, 4 million ounces of gold, some even more than that, but they're still being valued like they have 500,000 ounces. So is the optionality in resources in the ground to maybe getting revalued one of the theses you're looking at?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I think a perfect company fitting that criteria would be Banyan Gold. It's a company that I frankly felt like I missed out on the discovery play. And talking to management, I realized that, you know, they're not valued anywhere near where they should be for those ounces in the ground, for the management team, and for a very significant increase in those resources that I see ahead. So yeah, that's one of those kinds of companies where you play that optionality that a market is going to have to recognize this, these resources at some point. And as that euphoria kicks in, they will become more fairly valued, if not overshot and overvalued at some point.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing I think that we keep coming back to too is if we're in a bull market, well, that can even lift some of the crappiest projects too, right? And that's what I think a lot of people are wondering is this going to be a bit more of a long run bull market? Brian, thanks for your time, buddy. It's great chatting with you. Always fun hearing what you're seeing in this sector because, well, you're in it every day and you're talking to a lot of companies. So we'll chat with you in another couple weeks. Thanks again for your time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. You too, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control, and priming the brain for other addictions. Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. Look, we spent the first three segments focusing more on the precious metals sector along with the precious metal stocks. Let's take a step back and look at the broad averages and maybe some of the larger sectors within those broad averages. We are chatting with T.G. Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading, also editor of the Profit Pilot website, which we will link to in the weekend show posting. T.G., give us your outlook broadly on these markets. We've heard comments that the highs could already be in for the year. We've also heard comments that the lows could also be in for the year. And on top of all of that, we're getting a lot of mixed market moves. We're not necessarily seeing the defensive stocks lead higher as tech has been doing fairly well. Small caps have been doing well. It really seems kind of like a mixed market out there where a lot of people, at least ones that don't have a preconceived either bullish or bearish outlook, they're confused. Can you clarify what you're seeing for us in terms of these markets and direction potentially moving forward here?
Yeah, I'll do my best to kind of just shine a little bit of light on what I see. The other thing is I had a market update that I put out there free on our YouTube page March 1st. I'll give you guys the link for that too so people can check it out. And it really summarizes a lot of the things that I was seeing out there at the time. And it seems to be holding up pretty well for how the market has been working. So that's why I keep talking about it. There was also another stat that just came out since we just closed the quarter. And it said that anytime the S&P 500 returns a greater than 7% gain in the first quarter, it has been a 100% track record that the market has been up fairly significantly a year later. So that's something to just kind of take out there. That doesn't mean it has to work. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy path. And we're still, mostly as we were kind of talking earlier, we're still looking for more a broader base participation in this move because, you know, for everything that the market has gotten thrown at, I mean, everything, the banking crisis, interest rates, I mean, you name it, and the market has actually held up pretty darn well. And so kind of having to go with that, but the problem is it's still very narrow. We are seeing the bigger stocks move up. We're still seeing not broad-based participation. And as we were kind of discussing earlier, the thing that I've been looking at is that there are a lot of names that really kind of look like they're done going down, and this is the case that I made back even on March 1st. You know, I can just name a few. We got Palantir, we've got Sono and Scotts Miracle-Gro and Skin and, gosh, I mean, I could just name a whole bunch of stocks, Redfin and Pinterest and Roku and Roblox, that they're off their lows. And they have spent the last almost 2 years in downtrends getting repriced. And they were underneath, during those 2 years, underneath the monthly 10, underneath the weekly 50, and underneath having the weekly 8 below the 21, all downtrend signals. But over the last few months, they have gone sideways, they've gone up a little bit, and now they're over all of those moving averages, and they're all starting to do this. Now, the problem is they're all going sideways. And so this is kind of what we're talking about. You know, the breadth participation isn't quite there. So it's like, okay, maybe the worst is behind us. And that's what we can kind of see through a lot of these stocks. It's like they're already repriced. I mean, they got absolutely shellacked, like totally smashed. They're down there. They're back to their pre-COVID lows or even worse. But now they've kind of found this equilibrium and starting to get over these moving averages. So at least all the ingredients are there that are needed in order for price to go up, in order for these trends to resume to the upside. But not all of them are starting to do it. And so that's kind of where we're in this middle ground, maybe this little hibernation of limbo, that we're like, okay, everything is ready to go. Now we just have to figure out what the market needs in order for money to start coming back into these names and these tickers and start raising them up. So we might be in a little bit of that transition phase of just kind of like waiting and watching for whatever spark or trigger is going to get them going.
Since we're talking so much about moving averages, what have you noticed broadly in these moving averages? Are they still moving down? Have they bottomed? Have they started moving up? What have you noticed, and what's important for the trend moving forward?
Yeah, well, the first thing to note that is important is that a lot of these moving averages are starting to stop going down. You know, they were in downtrends. A lot of them are now flat, and then that's kind of the first step. And then we need price to actually get on top of those moving averages, because, you know, you can't be going up if you're underneath moving averages. You can have bounces and downtrends, but you're not actually going up. So you need to get over these moving averages. And then I like to see price follow, like engage with an uptrending moving average. Like, we want to see it bounce off of and go up with an uptrending moving average. Very, very simple. You just take a big picture look. Very simple. What are we looking at? So starting from the highest time frames, I like looking at the monthly 10. And then I like to look at the weekly 50. And then on the daily, the thing that I've been noticing, because the daily 50, you can see price goes up and over and below it a lot, you know, kind of oscillate through it. But the thing I've been seeing recently, and a lot of these names that have already been, you know, already repriced, already been down, been doing it for 2 years, what we're starting to see is that the daily 50 is starting to cross over the daily 200. And again, just the definition of an uptrend is when you have the fast moving average over the slow moving average. And the 50 and the 200 are major moving averages that a lot of institutions and a lot of traders look at. And the fact that the 50 is starting to cross over the 200, that is a trend change. And that is the same kind of trend change that we saw when this whole bear situation started about 2 years ago. You just look around at some of these stocks and, you know, they call them a death cross. When the 50 crosses underneath the 200, we're starting to see the opposite of that. And we're starting to see that in world markets as well. If we look at FXI, we've also had the 50 cross over the 200. Now, it's still kind of shaking itself out, but we still have the 50 over the 200. It might actually right now be starting to maybe start the next leg up, if what I'm looking at. And the first time in about 2 years, we've had now price over the monthly 10. As I said, it's still shaking itself out, still trying to, you know, hammer out this low and this bottom, but we now actually have price over certain moving averages that we haven't had for the last 2 years.
Well, TG, a lot of people are more buy and hold investors. They're not active traders like you, and they're not maybe into, you know, getting into the momentum of a stock, you know, piercing up through moving averages and really getting some strength behind it. What would you tell people that are maybe not as active of traders that are listening to this interview, that are just looking to find out, has the dust settled overall, and is this an environment where if they get into general equities or maybe certain sectors within general equities, that they can feel a little bit more comfortable maybe buying and holding for a longer period of time? So are there any indicators you use that maybe give a longer time frame than the shorter term moving averages?
Well, honestly, I mean, everything I've been talking about today so far has been longer term. Heck, I mean, I'm talking about monthly charts and weekly charts. So for those of you who are longer term like that, those are the things. Those are the metrics I like to look at. On the weekly chart, make sure the weekly 8 is over the weekly 21. Make sure price is over the weekly 30 SMA. On the daily chart, make sure that the 50 is over the 200, you know, those kind of things, and make sure that they keep going that direction and that price continues to follow those moving averages and respects them. I also, in some of my classes, I talk about angle of attack. I'm a pilot, so, you know, angle of attack really means a lot to me. The best situation is when you have moving averages not just flat, but actually angled up, and the more steeply it's angled up, the more likely price is going to accelerate to the upside. So in this period of time where I'm looking at Palantir or FXI or Roku and all these names that are still flat, you'll notice that most of the moving averages are still flat. So the angle of attack is flat. So what we're looking for is something to start going. We need to start seeing price just start to move up. And then when price moves up, that'll start moving the moving averages up and angled up. That way, every time price comes back down to meet the something like a 50 SMA, that 50 SMA is going to be angled up, up, up. And every time it's going to bounce off it more and more and more. And it's going to be a self-perpetuating situation where price keeps moving higher off of a higher moving average, which gets a higher price, which gets a higher moving average. So we're right in the beginning of some of these. If you want to see an example, basically, of what I'm talking about, you know, go look at First Solar. And you'll see that First Solar has a very nicely angled up daily 50. And you'll see over the last year or something like that, a year or two or whatever, that every time it's bounced off of that uptrending daily 50, it's gone higher. And that's because the angle of attack of the 50 is in a pretty sharp up move. But if we look at something like Redfin, which might just be beginning, you can see that the angle of attack of the 50 is pretty flat. It's still just trying. You know, that engine's getting warmed up. So if you're looking at a longer-term stuff, look at this. We might just be in the beginning. And one other caveat, just to make sure we're covered about this, I understand about the recession. I understand about the yield curve and the uninversion of it. And we've got a lot of things out there that are still painting a lot of doom and gloom. So we need to understand that this may not just be like a, you know, a one-stop thing. We might be seeing that the market is kind of fixing itself now. A lot of these things have been repriced over the last years. We might be able to see a mini bull market now and things kind of moving up. But if things change, if economic data comes out, you know, if something gets serious, if the Fed has to pivot for bad reasons as opposed to good reasons, you know, we could see another move down over the course of a few months.
All right, TG, let's wrap it up here. Always great hearing what you have to say, though, TG. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. Please go back through our website and podcast. Listen to all the daily editorials and company updates we recorded this week. I hope you all have a very happy Easter. We'll be back with you next week. TG, everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for taking time with us this weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to DanPilla.com to order your copy. That's DanPilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to DanPilla.com. That's DanPilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.